Welcome to episode 132 of the Family Podcast Network. Boom, baby.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this very awesome episode. We are in episode 132 of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those kiddos that aren't. The date today is July the 30th, 2012. We are about to wrap up July and move into the awesome month of August. The topic for today is going to be a case study of my kids called Kiddos, Dates, and Daddy. The power of kiddo dates. This was just birthed a little bit out of some recent experiences as we begin to see our daughter slowly and assuredly start to need more and more individualized time that is just mine and hers, and just mommy's and hers. We've started to see her cropping up where she's needing this more and more, and so we've started to indulge it. And a lot of this for us is a case study. This has been kind of a new endeavor for us to see what happens whenever you give your kids that general attention where you're around them and you all play with them all, but also making sure that we take the time to give her just that one-on-one stuff, and as well to my other kiddos. So we're going to talk a little bit about how has that been working, what does that look like, and how well is it giving us the results that we're looking for. Before we get into that, guys, let's cover some quick housekeeping. To get free updates and episodes of what goes on the site, just go over to the main website, www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, and on the right side browser bar, just enter your name and email. That'll just make sure that you don't ever miss an episode, and you can keep track of what's being talked about and come on over to the website whenever you get a chance and listen. Guys, also like us on Facebook and share us on Facebook. That's a great way to spread the message. I've seen you guys who have been sharing. I just want to say a personal thank you to all you guys who have been liking. I want to shoot out just a real quick thank you to Jim and Jacqueline, who liked us on the Facebook, on the Big Daddy Facebook over at the Family Podcast Network's page. Thank you to you guys. You guys rock. I sure do appreciate you. Guys, lastly, if you want to be able to get in touch with me and contact me, you can do so through email, internet, voicemail, phone, chat box. I try to make several different ways that you guys can do that to make it easy for you. If you would like, you can first off email me at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. One of your fastest ways that you can get a hold of me is to email me. I check emails almost all day long, even on this. Guys, you can also do internet voicemail. If you look over there, it says on the website, www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, it says leave me a voicemail. What that means is if you have a microphone hooked up to your computer, you can just click on that and leave a voicemail on that, and that'll also allow me to put your questions on the show so that way other parents can share and what are some of the questions you guys have. But let's say you aren't near a computer. Let's say you listen to this on Stitcher while you're driving or through your iTunes account and your podcast download and your podcatcher. What do you do then? Well, then all you got to do is dial 661-PARENT-0. Again, that is 661-PARENT-0 or 661-727-3680. And you can leave me a voicemail. And again, we might put that on the air. I know the quality of recording is not nearly as good as when you do the leave a voicemail. But that's still, if you're on the road, you're stuck in traffic, you've been like, man, what do I do with my kid when? Just go ahead and shoot us out a call. I love answering your guys' questions. All right, guys, with all of the housekeeping out of the way today, we're going to get into our very cool topic today, which is, again, a case study that I did with my kiddos. Now, I've done an episode on this before, at least or on this similar topic, where we talk a little bit about giving our kids individualized attention. Definitely need to go check that out. I will definitely link that in the show notes today. Just talk a little bit about what are the different kinds of attentions that we can give our kids. And I'm just going to break them down real simply today. First off, you've got your general attention, G. I call it G attention. That's the general attention that when you walk through the door, it's what you give your kids. All three kids, you know, come run around and grab your leg and you hug them and you kiss on them and you ask them about their day. But it's kind of divided in between all of them. It's your general attention. It might not be divided in between your spouse as well. And so it's not really a focused attention. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, we can't always give every kid individual attention for minutes upon minutes all the time, right? I mean, there's things that have to be done. And so anyway, it can't happen all the time. However, there's also what's called individualized time. And in that time, just like it sounds, it is not rocket science by any stretch of the imagination, but in that, this is just it's that attention that you stop and you focus in and you give all of your dedicated attention to your kid for extended periods of time. And by extended periods of time, I don't mean like days or anything like that, but it might just be, you know, an hour or two. Depending on what you're doing. Maybe it's just 30, 45 minutes, but again, it's uninterrupted, it's unadulterated, and it's focused on them. So in this episode that I'm going to link on there, go check that episode out if you want to learn a little bit more about that. But today I'm going to do a case study. My kiddos are just starting to get to that age where they're starting to want that individual attention. Now, the way the hierarchy goes in our family with our kiddos is Anna's my oldest. She's 6. And she wants certain things. And what'll happen is that the next oldest is my son Grant. He's 4. He typically wants what she wants. Sometimes he just says what she says just for the sake of saying it. But sometimes I just think she's got really good ideas, and Grant acknowledges that. And so anyway, recently my daughter has begun expressing an interest to want to spend more one-on-one time. She's actually been asking for it very specifically. Lots of things, like wanting to do a lot of outside play. She's been wanting to go outside and play certain games. And interestingly enough, I mean, she doesn't want me, when I come out there, she doesn't want me to push her. She doesn't want me to help her with certain things or, you know, push her on the swings. What she wants me to do is role-playing type games, to where, you know, and we have several of them, and I've mentioned them on several different ones, but we have like what's called the hunter and the hunter's dog, and she's the hunter's dog and I'm the hunter, and we go and we hunt certain animals and whatnot, and she likes for me to do, you know, certain kinds of one-on-one games and different kinds of things like that. We'll talk later about the one particular that instigated this recording, but I don't feel like these are purely exclusionary. Like, I don't feel like the purpose of them is to get away from her siblings. You know, a lot of families really struggle, and we're going to have to do an episode on this eventually, but a lot of families really struggle with a lot of sibling rivalry and hatefulness and meanness and trying to fight and vie for mommy and daddy's attention. Our kids, at least to date, and I won't get arrogant about this and say it couldn't ever happen. I've learned that I've stuck my foot in my mouth way too many times on that with parenting, but so far we haven't had the fighting that happens and is typically pretty common at this age with our kiddos. So when I really stop to evaluate the motive behind why my daughter is wanting this more one-on-one time, I'm looking for it too. And I don't think that my daughter is above that or anything like that, but I don't see those key flag indicators that make me go, okay, this is just about trying to exclude her sibling from that. And the reason I say that is because she still plays with her other siblings very, very well. She enjoys playing with Grant. She enjoys playing with Cora, my 2-year-old, and she's very, very interactive with him. Very sweet, sweet older sister. So, you know, she still plays with him. She's still very sweet to him. But lately, there's just been a lot of whispering, you know, just, hey, daddy, can we go and do this just you and me? You know, just lots of that lately. And so I've really been taking the time to indulge that. So the other day, I came home and I was real busy, and those days happen for all of us parents. I want you to hear me say that and let yourself off the hook now, as we get those days where it's just too dadgum flipping busy and we can't get to it. I mean, that is a fundamental part of life. But the other day I came in, I was really busy. I'd been working my butt off all day. There was about 10 things that I needed to get done at the house that afternoon before we could even think about going to church that evening and all that, blah, 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 blah. You know how the mess goes. And so I came home and, you know, I was about getting ready to leave, and my wife looked at me and she goes, hey, why don't you just take Anna with you? Because, you know, she had overheard Anna saying that she wanted to have some one-on-one time with daddy. I thought, you know, what a great idea. So we piled up, you know, she and I piled in the car. I had to go run down to the grocery store. I had to go run to the church and grab something out of there. And then I had to run over to my mother-in-law's house and pick up a couple things there. And I just, you know, just Anna just jumped in the car with me, and she just came. We sat there and we chatted all the way to the store. She helped me all throughout the store. She helped me all the way to the church. I mean, just, you know, just it was lots and lots of interacting, lots of talking, lots of teaching. And lots of just listening on my part, just listening to Anna's day. And I thought it was so interesting how that worked. But then when I got home, it was one of the first times that this had really happened. And when I'd gotten home, Grant said, Dad, can we go take a drive now? So, you know, I'll be honest, I just came up with a reason, to go for a drive with him. We really didn't have anywhere that we, quote-unquote, needed to go. But he hopped in the car with me. We drove somewhere. We drove around. He and I talked. We chatted. He helped me. There was lots of teaching and lots of listening about his day and those kinds of things. But it was a neat experience. Because, you know, at this point, my older daughter has always kind of been the one who's needed things first because she's older and she's just progressing, you know, at an older age than everybody else is. It was one of the first times that I've gotten to see my son now finally start picking up on that desire, that need to have that individualized attention. So I want to be clear today. Today's episode is not about talking about what these individualized attention is. It's not even really about giving tips and tricks to you guys as to what you can do. I mean, in reality, you are the expert of your family, not me. And I mean, you might get some ideas that you think, oh, that's good. I do want to try that with my kids. I do want to be doing that with them. But the fact of the matter is that you're the one who knows them the best out of everybody. And I always encourage you to follow through on that. So today's episode, today's going to be focused more on the reminder to prioritize one-on-one time into your interactions. And I don't care if your kids are 3 or 4. I don't care if they're 14, 15, 16. I always recommend take time to schedule one-on-one time with your kids. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care if your kids are 34, 35, 36. Take that time to prioritize your kids and spend time with them one-on-one. Now, some of you guys may say, well, Trey, my kids are moved out and they live 100 miles away. I still recommend that you maintain that relationship. Highly recommend it. Because remember, just because our kids move out of the house does not mean that they stop being our babies. They don't stop. But prioritize your one-on-one time with your kids. Play with your kids. When you got your young kids, play with your kids. Do it together. I mean, that can be anything from going and jumping around the trampoline. That can be swinging them on the swing set. That can be imagination games as a family. I'll tell y'all just kind of a story about that here in just a minute of one of my daughters in my play, one of our new games that we played this week. It was a lot of fun, but it might also just be sit down and play some Xbox with your kids. Play some Kinect with them. Play a board game. I don't know. I don't care, but just figure out what is it that you can do that causes one-on-one interaction with your kid. Maybe you take them and go get a soda in town. Maybe you have them come with you to help fix the car. Maybe you have them help you, just them, help you come and make dinner. But make sure that you are taking that time one-on-one with your kids to love on them, to build them up, to help them heal from whatever crap happened in their day. Those are the things that they need. Maybe it's to teach them. Let me tell you, there's no better way to teach your kids what you believe about right and wrong than by doing it through these imaginative plays. Just today, my daughter said, Dad, can you go outside, just you and me? She did that today. So I said, yeah, baby, let's go. And so we went outside and we sat out there and it started out with our normal hunter and hunting dog, but it quickly turned itself into a new game we hadn't played before. And what had happened was we had found a Komodo dragon. For those of you that don't know what a Komodo dragon is, first off, you got to go look them up. They're pretty fascinating little creatures, but they're a creature. I can't remember where they're from. I think it's a remote island, but they're basically giant iguanas. I mean that's the best. Characteristic that I can come up with, but when I say giant, we're talking like these things can literally take down deer. They are huge. But anyway, what had happened was that we had found this Komodo dragon and this baby Komodo dragon. Of course, the adventure became is that we had to climb a very, very steep, tall mountain, and then we had to search out all these different caves, and we had to put this Komodo dragon that incidentally was black with orange markings back in the cave with that had the other Komodo dragons that were black with orange markings on it as well. And, I mean, I'm talking we had to mountain climb. We had to trek across a long trek of mountain. We had to investigate multiple caves. We got chased by a bear. And before we finally found where we needed to be, then we had to climb back down the mountain after we traversed it, of course. And then while we were climbing back down, there was a rock slide. But I'm not saying all this to say, you know, go play this story out with your kids. That's not my point here. My point is that I was taking a little bit of time. And I'll be honest, my knee-jerk reaction is I have no desire to go do this. I have no desire to go outside and return, you know, imaginary Komodo dragons back to imaginary caves and whatnot. I mean, that my knee-jerk reaction is I've got no love for this. But I do have love for my daughter. And I do have love for the things that get taught to her. The little stories, the little life lessons that really, and I almost dare say, I don't get the opportunity to teach them. Like when it's the general attention, I don't know if you guys have this problem as well, but anytime my kids get together, you know, sometimes it's just like a gaggle of like hyenas, you know, just, I mean, they just get to talking. And they'll say something. I'm like, ooh, what a good lesson that we can teach them right here. And I'll try to teach them this lesson. But there's just so much noise going on. I'm just like, you know, I get done and I just thought, wow. I don't know if any of you guys are shooters, but if you glance a bullet off of something and then you get that classic sound that you hear on TV and you're pow, that's called a ricochet, right? And basically what it means is that it didn't get a flat impact. And so it basically just skipped off of the thing that it hit, like a rock, whenever you skip rock across the top of water. And so sometimes I'll get to these life lessons when they're all in this G attention. Everybody's just, I get done and I teach this life lesson and I walk out thinking, man, that's a good lesson. But man, that just totally ricocheted right off of them. And so a lot of times when you get this individual one-on-one attention with your kids, this is where the gold in terms of relationship and story and building happens. This is where they really learn. This is where they really grow. And we got to have that experience this week with the Komodo dragon. And we talked about being kind. And what had happened was we had gotten to the first cave. And I think it was green Komodo dragons with yellow marks, right? So this wasn't the right one. And my daughter asked, should we just leave him here? Even though this isn't his quote-unquote people, I think she said. And that was such a great opportunity to talk to my daughter about, hey, what do we do whenever we don't get things right the first time? And she just cracked a little smile. And she goes, Dad, we try again. I said, that's right, baby. And that's something we push with our kids big time. What do we do when we fail? What do we do when we screw up? Wow, we just try again. Try again. And she just cracked that little smile. And I'll be honest, inside was calling my name, air conditioner. We live in Texas, and I think it was probably getting a little close to being about 101 degrees outside. I was hot. I was sweaty. I just came home. I think I was still in slacks and a tie. Why was I outside in a tie? I get it. I know. It was retarded, but regardless, I didn't change it. I was thirsty, and I was just, oh, man, I could just taste a glass of my wife's sun-made raspberry tea that she had just made. I was just excited about that. Some ice. Oh, yeah. But, we stuck it out. And we went to the next cave. And the next cave wasn't the right cave either. So by this point, I'm like, all right, baby, we got 5 more minutes. That's the other thing I recommend with these. If you're going to do these individualized attention, don't be afraid to finally give them, okay, you've got 5 more minutes. Give them that transitionary period. Don't just cut them off and say, okay, whoop, we're done, I'm going inside. You know, give them that 5 minutes period, but don't be afraid to use that. I understand that sometimes there reaches that point in every parent's life where they're just like, that's enough. So don't be afraid to use that. But we went inside, but it was such a wonderful lesson. And my daughter came out, and my wife were getting ready to send her to a week-long camp. First time we've ever sent any of our kids to a camp at all. So I'm about ready to vomit in my mouth a little bit. But we're getting ready to do that. So my wife is trying to teach her how to put her own hair into a braid. Excuse me, not a braid, a ponytail. And doing that. I mean, I've never had to do it myself, but watching my daughter do that, I'm realizing that she is having to put this braid into her hair, or excuse me, this ponytail into her hair, and she's not able to look at anything that she's doing. So she's having to do it blindly, and she, you know, she worked on it. She did incredibly well. Blew my wife and I's socks both completely off. But as she was sitting there doing it, you know, she started getting a little bit frustrated because she was having a hard time getting it straight. And I remember that I looked at my daughter and I saw the frustration kind of rising in her eyes and in her frustration the way she was working. And I just looked at her and I said, "Hey, sugar, remember the Komodo dragons?" And she just grinned. You can see that, just that little glint that little kids get that just warms your heart as a parent. She goes, "That's right, Dad. We're going to try again." And what a neat life lesson, because that life lesson wasn't about just trying again, even though they had failed. It was also about not compromising. Because let's be honest, I feel so weird even saying it this way, but, you know, the first cave of Komodo dragons that we had gotten to, theoretically, were the same creatures. Theoretically, they might accept this one in as one as their own. And theoretically, could we have left that Komodo dragon in that cave and gone on and felt pretty justified in all the action that we had put into our little quote-unquote, you know, adventure? Yes, we could. But it also became a life lesson of teaching anytime you do anything, it's worth doing it right. And my daughter today grasped that life lesson that came through this individualized attention. And you could tell that she got it. Because today she was trying to get her hair. It's the first time she's ever done her own ponytails. And she refused to let them be off to the side. Now, I want you to hear me say, I am not obsessive compulsive. When I first met my wife, I would actually have qualified myself as just flat out being a slob. I can live in chaos and disorderliness and cleanness better than most ever could. And once I met my wife, I began to change and I began to gather a lot of her organizational skills and cleanliness skills and keeping my desk clean and keeping my offices clean and et cetera, et cetera. Cars, all that other stuff. I really gleaned a lot from her out of that. But I want you to hear me say, I don't naturally come predisposed to obsessive compulsive, you know, personality type traits. But, you know, watching her, and my daughter isn't either, but watching her, I began to realize that she was beginning to take and engender that basic philosophical belief that you don't give up until you get it right. And all of that came out of a fantasy little adventure that we created with a fake little beanie rubber lizard, who incidentally wound up being a Komodo dragon, and some fake imaginary mountains and some caves. I got to teach my daughter one of the most philosophical and most fundamental belief systems that we have in our family. And I'm not saying this, guys. I promise that I did not go and mock up this book so that way we could, you know, write out this long articulated thing on how I'm able to teach these lessons. Because in reality, there's nothing that I think I could ever do to really replicate that, to make it as powerful as it was. It was just the moment that we were in. This Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, we're going to have Dr. Peter Zafiridis come on, and he's going to talk a little bit about inward attention and living in the moment, and how when we are in those moments, we have some of the best opportunities to teach and to learn, both for our kids as well as for ourselves. And because I took that moment to seize that opportunity with my kid, go outside, give her that individual attention, if nothing else, I taught her a life lesson that can be one of the greatest things that she'll ever learn. Try again until you get it right. Powerful, powerful thing. So I want to recommend that you guys spend one-on-one time with your kiddos. I'm not just saying that to be glitzy or glamorous or sound cool, but I'm telling you guys, it is that opportunity to teach those things to our kids that keep us from getting to that point where we're ready to rip our hair out and we're saying, "Why did you do that?" And they're saying, "I don't know." They don't know because they've never been told. And it's really hard to tell a kid. It's really hard to tell a kid anything when we're not around them. Take your kids to the store. Have them work on dinner with you. Have them come help you fix the lawnmower, the weed eater. Just take them, just do a single walk around the block with them, and you'd be amazed at how just those few precious minutes can gain you so much of what you're looking for as a parent. Sit on the front porch and drink iced tea with them. I mean, some of these I do, some of these I don't. But I want to give you guys some ideas on some things that you can do with your kids. You don't have to overthink this. It doesn't have to be something that's huge and elaborate. It doesn't even have to be something that's an hour to 5 hours long. I would rather see you spend 15, 20 minutes with your kid every day, intentionally giving them this one-on-one individualized attention, than to go your entire life getting 100% of just that general attention that you give to them, but you also give to the other one. The point of all of these need to be that you make them special, that you make them unique, that all the different parts of what you do with that kid is unique. There needs to be something that separates one kid's relationship from another one. We talked real recently on an episode called Do We Mold Our Kids or Do We Grow Them? And we talked about how there need to be specific differences in those relationships. There, you absolutely need to be doing different things with one than you do with the other. I'm not suggesting that you do all different things. I'm not suggesting that each individual kid has a totally different schedule and routine than the other one. That's not my suggestion. Don't take this too far. But what I'm saying is that throughout the day, there need to be those little things that make your relationship with that kid just a little bit more unique. I remember there was a quote years ago that I was reading. I think it was in the book The Shack. And I remember in that book they were talking about, it was supposed to be the proverbial God was talking to this one particular guy, and he kept talking every time that he would reference another one of when God would reference another one of his kids is what he would call him. He would say, "Oh, he's my favorite." And then he would bring up another kid and he would say, "Oh, that one's my favorite." And then another kid, he would talk about another one. "Oh, gosh, he is my favorite." And the main character made a comment. And I'm going to misquote this a little bit. I'm just going to kind of tray a phrase, this quote he made. But he goes, "Hey, every single one of the kids you've mentioned, you've said is your favorite." And I love how they tell the story. In the story, he just smiles and says, "Exactly." And that seems so paradoxical in nature, because the idea that there is a favorite suggests that there is a prioritization over the other ones. But I would go as far to say that it is absolutely possible that you can experience having a favorite out of each one of your kids. Each one of those individual things that you connect with. Each one of those individual things that you do that makes them special. Different, set apart from the others. Not better than, not more coveted or more loved than. There needs to be equal amounts of that. But there are just those things that make them special. I mean, think about it. Is that not what we want from our spouses or our significant others, boyfriend, girlfriends, whatever? Isn't that what we want from when we want to know that as men we get treated differently than that woman treats the other men in their life? Women want to know that this man treats me different than he treats the other women in his life. Doesn't mean that he treats any of the other ones less respectfully, but there's just something about our relationship that makes us set apart. It adds that uniqueness. One of the things that has been cropping up with my daughter, and I've got this written down in my notes so you can see where I scribbled off. My note scribbled off right here because my daughter came in and said, Dad, you want to go pick tomatoes together? That is starting to become one of our things. is that she comes out with me in the garden, and I just I clip all the different vegetables, and she holds the basket. And man, let me tell you, she's just a little chatty Cathy, and I love it. But it's just one of our things. It's that thing that makes us unique compared to my son. My son and I love to play video games together. It is one of, and my daughter, my other two daughters just don't really. And it's one of the things that makes our relationship unique. What is making your relationship with your kiddos, each individual one of them, what makes them set apart? Is there anything? If there is, are you doing enough of it? And if you think you're doing enough of them, are they different enough to be those things that make them unique? One of the best places to begin doing that. If the answer is no, or if the answer is not enough, or if the answer is they're not unique enough, Trey, how do I fix one of those three things? How do I grow one of those three things? One of my favorite ways to do that as a daddy myself, and favorite way to recommend, is take that time with them individually, one-on-one. The other kiddos, at least for this hour, are not allowed. Have those little unique things. I was talking to my wife trying to remember the quote. There was a movie called Father of the Bride, and I remember that there was a part of their relationship that I thought was kind of cute because it was so very unique to them too. But one of my the favorite clips of it was the basketball scene. And I'm going to include a link to it in the show notes. I was going to see if I can convert it to an audio version for this, but it had a lot of visual stuff with music, and it wouldn't have made much sense. But there's a really, just a precious scene. And I'm sorry, guys, I'm about to get a little sappy here, but you see the dad and the daughter, who's now, you know, grown up and about college age, and she comes out there, and they kind of make some comments about, you know, how many times we played, and he said probably about 1,000 times. And so it becomes this little interaction between them, and this whole time you see this daughter, and all of a sudden he sees her as a little baby girl. And you know, you watch them as they're playing basketball, and as she gets older and older, and you can see her when she's in junior high and then high school playing basketball with him, and until that's where she is now. She's fully grown, and there was some part of that that was always very tender to me. Even before I had kids, something about that always resonated with me, and I think it was always the fact that it was their thing. It was the thing that they did that was special to them. It was their basketball time. And though I don't even know if in the story he had anything other than the daughter, I'm not sure about that. The fact of the matter was, it was their thing. And your kids need those things that are just yours and theirs. I'm not advocating that you be a turd about it with the other siblings. Well, you can't be a part of this. Me. I'm not even saying that. But finding those things that they love to do with you, that are specific to just them. And then finding something for the next one, and then finding something for the next one. Something that always is just yours and their thing. I'm not talking about excluding other people from it or driving people away with it. But I'm talking about having those things that are just yours. I encourage you to spend some time with this week with your kid, with your kids. It's just one-on-one. It's just them. Make it special. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. You guys have a great day. Be ready for this Wednesday. We're going to have Dr. Peter Zafiridis come on, and he's going to talk about us with an amazing topic. I have now nicknamed him Dr. Butter, because his voice is just so perfect for audio like this, and it is smooth, and he is sharp as a tack. You're going to want to come check out our Wednesday episode. So come check us out on thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You guys have a great day, great week, and we will see you guys on Wednesday.